Begin the current daf, Masechet Zevachim, daf Ayin Daled. Begin 4 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the top of this Amud, and those relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, which will relate back, regarding this halacha of Taroivus, if something gets mixed up into a mixture of other things, one thing that's prohibited and many things that are permitted. So a certain halacha is regarding what do you do with the whole mixture? Do we say that it's going to be batal, it's going to be nullified, or is it going to be all prohibited? So the Gemara says the following halacha: Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avu, Amar Rav says Tabas Shalavidis Kachavim, regarding the ring of idolatry, which either means that of which was used as a sacrifice for Avodah Zarah, or as more plausible is that it was used to decorate an idol. Shenis Arva B'Meit Tabos, that got mixed into 100 different rings. Now Avodah Zarah is prohibited to have benefit from it. Now, but now it's mixed into 100 other rings. And that's a halacha where that's something that's not going to be bottled, which is something that's significant and it's a ring. So therefore, the whole mixture is going to be forbidden. But then that continues the halacha from Rav. Then one of the rings from that mixture falls into the Yamagodla, to the Great Sea. So then, Hutrukula, now they're all permitted. Why? Don't you say that the whole thing has a prohibition on it? Because we say that one which one fell in, could be it's that which was the prohibited one. And therefore, we're not going to say the whole thing is usr. The whole reason why we said it's usr is because this thing is not batal. But now we don't even know that there's even the isr, and therefore we could say that very likely that was possible, the one that fell in is that of the isr, and therefore now we're not going to make everything else prohibited. So on that, the Gemara asks, Isvi Rav L'Rav Nachman from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, a similar type of halacha. It was talking about permitted animals for a carbon, but something that was an isra no, like that which is a shahar niskal, fell into a mixture of fila achas bariba, even one into 10,000 kosher animals, and one that's prohibited to be a carbon. Said the Mishnah, Yumusukulan, they all have to die. And that is the Gemara Amai. Why do we say they all have to die? Once the first one of the whole herd dies, then the rest should be permitted, because Naimi should say that Demis, the one that passed away, Isur Amis, say the same logic that Rav's teaching is telling us. Once one of them is not here anymore, oh, okay, maybe that was the one, the Isur, and now we have no reason to say that the rest of the Tarevers of the mixture is forbidden. So then Amalei, so that he said to him, back to Rava, no, this teaching that I was saying over from Rav the Amad Kareb Eliezer. Rav is like Rebbe Eliezer, which we brought on from the previous daf on the top of this Amid. Unlike the halacha of a Mishnah, as we already pointed out in the previous stuff, that not like we learned in the Mishnah, and there's a Mishnah later on, that says, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, he says, Im karav harosh alechem, and if let's say there was a mixture of limbs that are kosher to be sacrificed in the Mizbeach with limbs of bali mumim, of blemished animals, which cannot be. So then the whole thing's prohibited. On that said, Rabbi Eliezer, but if let's say, without asking us, one of them was sacrificed on the top of the Mizbeach, then Yikruvu Kalaroshim Kulan, then you let it go ahead and sacrifice all the rest of them. That's the logic Rav was saying, because now it might be even what's called a double doubt. Maybe this is not the prohibited one, and even if the prohibited one was here, maybe that was one that was sacrificed already. You're right, the halacha of Amishnah is not like that, as we pointed out in the previous stuff, but Rav's like the Tana Rebbe Eliezer. But the Gemara still asks. But V'omer Rebbe Elazar, however, said later on in the Perek, qualifying this teaching of Rebbe Eliezer, and he says, Lohita Rebbe Eliezer. The Rebbe Eliezer, the Tana, did not permit to sacrifice all the rest of the heads, elishnayim shnayim, only two heads at a time. Because when you're sacrificing two heads, most definitely one of them is definitely a permitted one, because there was only one blemished animal that got mixed into all these limbs of all the animals. So therefore, on each one you could say that that's the permitted one. And therefore, you have what's called the migui. Since you're going to say that this one's not prohibited, so then the other one's also not prohibited. And the one that was prohibited was already sacrificed a different time. And therefore, that's when you could sacrifice the rest of the heads. Aval echad echad loy. But one at a time? No, you're not allowed to sacrifice the rest of the heads. Rebbe Eliezer does not permit that. Because each one, we do have a doubt. Maybe that's the prohibited one. And therefore, you cannot say a migui. Oh, since that one's permitted, this one's also. Because this one is the one at a time. This one might be the prohibited one. Even though one was already lost and one was already sacrificed, that doesn't mean anything. This one still might be the prohibited one. So how are you saying this halacha of Rav and saying that, oh, once one of them fell to the Yamagadol, oh, so that's just like Rebbe Eliezer's halacha, that one once is already lost. You can say, oh, maybe that was the prohibited one, but that's not true. Rebbe Eliezer doesn't let you now permit each one individually, only two at a time, where then definitely one is permitted, and then you could say the other one, based on the Migui principle, that the other one's also permitted. So that Amalei, so that Rebbe Nachman responded, he says, I know Tartika, I mean, he says, yes. I also, this teaching of Rav was also saying that two at a time. meaning that he could sell from these rings, which we had the ring of Avodah Zarah mixed in, but then one fell to the Yama Gadol. Now we could say, yes, like Rabbi Eliezer, that you could sell two at a time, because for sure one of them is permitted. And once you say that, as we'll see later on in the Masechta, this halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, then you say, Migui, since this one's permitted, maybe this one's also permitted, and maybe the prohibited one is a different one. That was what the context of Rav's teaching was. Another teaching, similar, Amar Rav, says, Tabas shal avodas kachav, a ring of idolatry, again, which was used to decorate an idol, shenis arva b'mei tabas, which got mixed into 100 of regular rings, permitted rings. Upirshu arbam l'mokamecha. Now, from this 100 rings, 40 got separated into one place, v'shishim l'mokamecha, and 60 got separated into another place. So, on that, says Rav, pirsha achas me'arbam. Now, from the 40 pile, one of them got removed. Eino iseres. So that's not going to prohibit it, and the Gemara is going to explain this whole teaching of Rav. Yet achas mishishim, but if one of the 60 gets removed, then I say that will be prohibited. On that, as the Gemara, maishna achas marbam deloi. Why is it that when one from the 40 gets removed and it gets put into a new pile, it's not going to prohibit it? It's new pile because daminan isur berubi ise. Because you say, yeah, it's not likely that this is the prohibited ring. Because we always contend that the thing is in based on the laws of majority. The majority of the rings are in the 60 pile. So we would assume that that's where the prohibited ring is, but not in the 40 pile. So when you take one out of that 40 pile and you put it in another pile, that pile is going to be permitted. And if that's the case, as the Gemara, then achas mishishim nami, then the one that's from the 60 pile, you should also say the same logic, that the one that was separated is a permitted ring, because I mean an isur beruba ise, that yeah, the prohibited ring is in the 59 remaining of that 60. But the one that was removed and then put into a new pile should also not prohibit its pile, because we could also then suspend and say that it's not the prohibited thing, because it's one. The majority is the 59. Let's say the prohibited one is in the 59 rings. So rather, the Gemara explains halacha of Rav as follows. If the 40 rings all get separated together and they all get mixed into a different place with other rings, meaning all the 40 in one shot, then in oysters. Then we're going to say those 40 rings are not going to prohibit the new pile of rings that it fell into, because we're going to say that the prohibited ring is in the remaining 60. Now, although those 40 rings themselves, if they didn't get mixed up with other rings, they would be prohibited forever. Because as we said before, even Rabbi Eliezer, who says that we suspend the prohibited item, that's only regarding when it gets lost. Like we said, it goes into the Yama Gadol, or that it was sacrificed already. It's regarding those types of cases that he says that the remaining are going to be permitted. But not if let's say one of them did not fall into the sea, they're all going to be prohibited because there's still one doubt that's still remaining. But and that's what the Gemara is explaining over here in this Halach of Rav, but when it gets mixed into other piles, it's not just one suffix anymore. It's now going to be a svek of Avodah Zarah. A, maybe it's in the pile of 40, maybe not. And even if, yeah, now that the 40 got mixed into a whole new pile, now we're not even sure if it's from the pile of 40 or from the new pile, that's what's called a double doubt. A double doubt by Avodah Zarah is going to be prohibited. It's going to be permitted. However, continues Rav, Shishim l'makam echad. But if the 60 pile fell into a different place with other rings, then Isris, then that will prohibit that whole new pile. Because since the doubt we always contend is in the majority, so essentially, really, we have only one big doubt of Avodah Zarah, not a svek sveka, because we're assuming that it is in the pile of 60. Unlike the 40, is A is in the 40, and then now is it in the new pile? Which rings are these from the new pile or from the 40 pile? That's a double doubt. But by the 60, it's really not even doubtful. We say that probably it is in the majority, and therefore, when they mix it into a new pile, it's only one suffix, and therefore, a suffix by Avodah Zarah, the whole new pile is going to be prohibited. Now, however, says Rabbi Yehuda, who, according to some Gersois, is what who said over the halach of Rav before, Kamrita Kamed Shmuel, when I said this teaching of Rav in front of Shmuel, so Amali said to me in disagreement, he said, no, Hanach Lavoidis Kachavim, leave alone the laws of idolatry, meaning, not like Rav, who wanted to be lenient by a double doubt of Avodah Zarah, like other Yisturin, because Shesveka Vesvek Sveka Asura Ad Seif Olam, the doubt, and the doubt of a doubt is prohibited until the end of the world, meaning even if you have 40, or one of the 40, it will go ahead and prohibit if it falls into another place, and from that place to another place, it's always going to be prohibited, because regarding a doubt of idolatry, we're stringent, and we're not going to say leniencies like we would say by other Yisroel. So though Shmuel agrees by Svek Svek about other Yisroel, it's going to be mutter, but by Avodah Zarah disagrees with Rav and says it's still going to be aser. Now, this teaching of Shmuel Meisavei, they ask from the following braisa. Safik avaydis kachav masura. The Brisa says, regarding a doubt of idolatry, so the mixture or whatever it is that the doubt is on is going to be prohibited. But if it's a doubt of a doubt, then it's going to be permitted. Says the Brisa Ketzer, how so? If you have a cup, a goblet of idolatry, where it falls into a storehouse full of cups. So kul nasurin, they're all prohibited. Even if it's 1,000, still it's not going to be batel, something chashim. And the suffix of the iser is going to be prohibited. But pirish echad mehen l'riboy, but if let's say one of those fall into 10,000, umir buy l'riboy, and from that 10,000 falls into another 10,000. So that says the b'raisa mutarin, they're going to be permitted, meaning both myriads, both 10,000s, even the first one that it fell into, because that's what's called a svek sveka, a doubt of a doubt, which is like Rav, who he said when the pile of the 40 falls into another place, it's not going to make it forbidden. We hear the goblet that fell into one pile, so that's going to be prohibited. But when that, because that's one suffix, but then when it falls into a myriad, which is 10,000, or then into another myriad, both of those are going to be permitted. That's like Rav, not like Shmuel, who said that the sveika of a desire is asra ad olam. So Zigmar, you're right, this Brisa is not like Shmuel, but Tanoi, it's a machlokes Tanoim, and Shmuel's like a different Tana. It's not like learning the Brisa. But Yudaimi, he says, Rimoine Badan, Eistrin Bekoshu, the pomegranates of this place Badan, if let's say it's from Orla, which is prohibited, or Truma, which also prohibited for a non-Kohen. Like we said before, since these pomegranates are very chashuv, they're distinct, they don't become nullified in the mixture. And therefore, even if it's a minute amount, it's going to prohibit the whole mixture. Ketzad, how so? Nofel echad mehen l'toich ribuy, if one of them falls into 10,000 other pomegranates. Umribu l'ribuy, and from that 10,000, it falls into another 10,000. Asurin, it's all going to be prohibited. B'shim ben Yehuda, and he says, L'riboy asurin, when the first pomegranate falls into 10,000, he agrees it's going to be prohibited, because that's one suffix, that's one taravis, that's asur. But a meriboy l'shleisha, but when from that 10,000, one of them falls into three other pomegranates, oh, now since it's a doubt of a doubt, because in the first mixture it was a doubt, is this that one or not? Now, when it falls from that mixture into another one, it's a double doubt. Is the one we have from the original mixture or from this new mixture? That's going to be batel b'raiv, and therefore all three pomegranates are going to be permitted. And then so too, mishloish l'makam achad, let's say from those three pomegranates it falls into another place, even if, let's say, it's a ratio of 1-1 or 2-2, where you don't even have majority, mutz is going to be permitted. Because like we said, all those initial three are all permitted, because that's a svek sveka, which is going to be permitted. So therefore we see in this braisa, a machlekes regarding svek sveka. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says Sveik Sveik is going to be Asur. And we have Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Shimon, who says that it's going to be Mutter. And that's what Shmuel is going on regarding that Machlaikis. That's Machlaikis Rav and Shmuel. If we're going to say Sveik Sveik is going to be Asur or it's going to be Mutter. However, on that is the Gemara. But Shmuel da Amar, Shmuel that says regarding Avodah Zarah that Sveik Sveik is going to be Asur, but regarding other Isurim, he did not say that he agrees to Rav that's going to be Mutter. So come on, who is he like? We don't find a Tanoic opinion according to him, because Ikra Rebbe Yehuda, if he's like Rebbe Yehuda, a Philip Shari Surim Asur, then even regarding other prohibitions, it's going to be Asur, a Svek Sveka, by something that's Chashub, like this reminding Baden of, let's say, Arlo or Truma, that's not going to be nullified. And so to a ring is Chashub, it's not going to be nullified, even if it's not Avodah Zarah. But Shmuel is only saying it's Allah and Avodah Zarah. And Ikra Rebbe Shimon, if he's like Rebbe Shimon, a Philip Avodah Kachavim Namishar, then even by idolatry, which is like this halach of Rav, should also be permitted. Yet Shmuel says Svek Sveka is going to be Asur. So who is this that Shmuel's like? Now, v'chitim, if you're going to say Shani Lili Rabbi Shimon ben Avodah Kachavim L'Shari Surim, maybe you're going to say, no, he's like Rabbi Shimon. Although it doesn't say it over there, but Rabbi Shimon differentiates between idolatry and other Isurim, although he says here in this halacha, Sveik Sveik is going to be Mutter, that was only regarding the halachas of Arlo or Truma, but regarding Avodah Zarah, he would agree, and that's who Shmuel's like. But on that, as the Gemara Lehod the Tanya, but then this that we look in the following Braisa. Safik Avodah Kachavim Asura, as we mentioned this Braisa before, regarding a doubt of idolatry, then it's going to be Asr, or Svek, Svek, Mutaris, but the doubt of the doubt is going to be permitted. Well, the Mani, who's the town of this Brisa? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, even the Svek, Svek, by other Yisurim, he holds that's going to be Asr, for sure by Avodah Zarah. And Rabbi Shimon, however you want to say, agrees by Avodah Zarah that it's going to be Asr. So who's this Brisa like that's saying that Svek, Svek, by Avodah Zarah is going to be permitted? Says the Gemara, Lo'ilim Rabbi Shimon. Truthfully is that the Tana of this Braisa is Reb Shimon that does not differentiate between Avodah Zarah and other Yisurim. You're right. and therefore he always holds that it's going to be mutaris, which is like the halacha of Rav. So then we're back to the question, so who is Shmuel like? That says only Svek, Svek is Asa b'Avodah, but by other Yisroel it's going to be mutter. Shmuel Sava like Rabbi Yehuda b'Chana. The way we understand Shmuel is that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one aspect, meaning Rabbi Yehuda who says that Svek, Svek is Asr, on Avodah Zarah, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so Svek, Svek is going to be Asr. But he disagrees with him in a different halacha regarding other Yisroel, that there he holds that like the other opinion that's going to be mutter. And therefore that's who Shmuel's like. Shmuel is like one town and one area. He's not disagreeing with the Tanoim, he's just like one in one area and one in another area. Now Amamar, the Gemara goes back to quote Rib Shimon from the Brice that we introduced because we were looking for a source for understanding Shmuel, because the other Brice was not like him. So therefore we brought in this Machlekes. And Rib Shimon had said that the Rumayni Badan, these pomegranates from Badan, which are Chashev, so there where it's something of Isser, let's say where it's that of Arlor or that of Truma, and it doesn't become Batal when it falls into even a myriad, even to 10,000, it's going to be Asa B'Kolshu. But then Rib Shimon continued, but if it goes Amamar, Mirbuya L'Shleisha, but if it then from that pile of 10,000 falls into even just three pomegranates, or Umishleisha L'Makamach, and then from that three goes into another pile, even if the ratio 1-to-1, Mutter is going to be permitted. Now, on the phraseology, on the wording of Rib Shimon, as we continue to Menbeis, the Gemara asks, Maishna Shleisha, why did Rib Shimon pick specifically that from the pile of 10,000, which could have been even a million? It just doesn't become batal in that initial mixture, because that's one suffix. But then when it falls into a new mixture, then it's a svek svek, and then it's going to be permitted. He picked three. Why three? Which, with the one of the first pile falling in, makes it for a total of four. So we're saying it's going to be batal but raiv. Because the Ikaruba, there's a majority of permitted, all you need is a simple majority of 2-to-1. But Shnaim Nami Ikaruba, if it falls into 2, there's also going to be majority. 2 of the new pile and 1 of the old one. Why pick that it falls into 3? It says, Gemara, my Gimel Dektani, you're right. What does it mean when it says it falls into 3? It means Tarti Vuhu. It means some total of 3. The initial one from the first mixture, which was the one suffix, falling into 2 more, which is a svek svekam, and additionally it's that halacha of arrive versus that one of the original suffix. That's what it means, 3. It doesn't mean 3 plus the original one, it means 2 plus that one, and therefore that's going to be the halacha of the svek sveka of permitting it. Now, v'ibay same, if you want, you could say, going back, according to the primary interpretation of Rashi, going back to the initial question that we had asked regarding Shmuel, so which town is he like? We said he's not like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. Rav has a Braisa clearly like him. But Shmuel, who says, by Avodah Zarah, Svek Svek is Asa, B'Shar Yisroel, and Mutter, who's he like? Says the Gemara, if you want, you could say, Savala, that Shmuel, who said that Safek by Avodah Zarah and Svek Svek by Avodah Zarah is going to be Asa, but B'Shar Yisroel is going to be Mutter, he says, Kireb Eliezer, like Rabbi Eliezer, who he holds that Svek Svek by Avodah Zarah is going to be Asa. Where do we find this? A Mishnah Masechet Avodah Zarah that says that if someone takes firewood that's prohibited to have benefit from it and they use it to heat up an oven, so the halacha is said that if it's a new oven, he has to destroy it because it was built on, it was made from the iser of the prohibited wood. If it's an old oven, so it was already made, so you just have to let it cool down. You can't benefit from that which was heated up by the prohibited firewood. But let's say you bake bread with that prohibited firewood. So it's going to be, that bread's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it. If let's say that got mixed up into other ones and other ones into other ones, so that's going to be a svek sveka, because maybe that's from that original one, maybe that's not from that original one, and even that original one was initially a safik. So the chacham say they're all going to be asabana. Now Rabbi Eliezer agrees to that premise. He just says, what you could do is, you take whatever benefit the possible isra was anyway, and you throw it to the Amamelech, and then you could go ahead and use it. But one thing we see according to Eliezer, that svek sveka by avodah zarah, which is prohibited firewood, is going to be usher from the fact that it requires at least, although he disagrees and says you could redeem it, but it needs redemption, albeit that it's a svek sveka. So you see that Shmuel has a Tanag source, which like Eliezer, that even when you have a svek sveka, but by avodah zarah, it's going to be usher, but no, it's not going to be batal. Now, a similar halacha that we said on Amin Aleph, Amresh Lakish, he says, Chavish al Chuma, a barrel of Chuma, which again is prohibited for non Kahanim, Shenis Arva B'mei Chavis, which gets mixed into 100 other barrels, which are permitted, and all these barrels are closed, which has the halachic significance that we said in the previous Dav, that Chavis Stumius Leibatli, closed barrels do not become nullified, they're considered Chash, which is one of the six things that are distinct. So, therefore, there's no Bittl, even though it's 100-to-1. Now, v'nafla achs menli amamelech, but now one of the barrels falls into the Dead Sea. Says Rish Lakish, hutru kulan. So although initially they were all prohibited, because it's not going to be bittul, now they're all permitted. Because darmina, we say, similar to the halacha number 11, hach denafel disur nafel, we could say the one that fell in was the prohibited one that fell in. Now, because initially there's a safek, now there's a double safek, because one fell in, and now we could say we could already be lenient. So says the Gemara, that seems to be the same halacha as Rav Nachman Oman Aleph, in the name of Rav. So says the Gemara, v'itzlich de Rav Nachman, we needed the halacha of Rav Nachman that he said before regarding the rings, the same type of halacha of Avodah Zarah. V'itzlich de Rish Lakish, we need this halacha of Rish Lakish regarding these barrels of Truma, and it's not redundant. Why? De'imad Rav Nachman, how we only had the teaching of Rav Nachman, how I would have said, hanemila v'itzkechov, that leniency is only regarding idolatry. Why? De'in lo matirin. There's a reason why we should say the halacha of bittul, that it's nullified, because it does not have permitters. There's nothing that can permit avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is always forbidden. And therefore, when you have a svek sveka, then you could say, okay, we're going to be lenient because of the halacha of bittul. Alva truma, but regarding truma that Rish Lakish is talking about, the yesh lamatirin, that there are permitters, meaning you could sell it to kahanim at a cheaper price, you're going to lose because the market gets much smaller when it's truma. But it has matirin. And as we know, the halacha regarding bittul, which have certain rabbinic adjustments to the halacha of bittul, although in the Torah it says you go based on majority, but one of the halachas are that davish yesh lamatirin, we're not lenient, we don't say there's bittul because we can't say it's nullified, because the element, you don't have to permit a prohibited thing because there's a permitted way around it. So therefore, by truma, we would say that loy, that there, even when it's a svek sveka, we're not going to be lenient. So that's why we have to say the halacha of Rish Lakish. And the Imid Rish Lakish, we only had Rish Lakish as halacha, have him in the chavis. I would have said that the leniency only applies to a barrel, the minkar in the filasa, where it's recognizable that when it falls into the sea, because since it's a very large item, a barrel, when it's taken from its place amongst all the other barrels, it's recognizable that something is missing, and it's obvious that that's why we're permitting the rest, because we could suspend and say, hey, first of all, there was a suffix. Now there's a double suffix, because the one barrel fell in, so people would know that and not going to lead to error. Avot Tabas, regarding the halacha of Rav Nachman and Alf, regarding the ring of Avodah Zarah, do lay minkar in the filasa, a very pragmatic objection, which is that it's not obvious that that's why we're permitting the rest, because of that one ring fell in, because it's not recognized. You can't tell that a ring is missing. And therefore, people might come to permit it even without it falling into the Dead Sea. They say, it mixed into such a mixture. Who said? And therefore, loy, I would say maybe over there we're not lenient. So tzrichi, they were about to say the halacha of Rav Nachman too, that even over there we're going to say the halacha of svek sveka, that's going to permit that ring of Avodah Zarah after that one of them fell into the Dead Sea or into the Yam HaGadol. Now, the Gemara qualifies, Amar Rabbi says, loy hiti Rish Lakish elochavis. So this teaching that we just said before of Rish Lakish, he says the only permitted, similar to the logic we just said before, is only by a barrel. Because the minkar nifilasa, it's recognizable that it fell in. So people will understand why we're permitting the rest of the barrels. Al ta'ena, but let's say a fig which is small and it's not recognizable that that's missing, then lie. Then if let's say you have the same case where one fig of truma gets mixed into 100 figs of non-truma, that's one suffix. And then one of the figs fall into the Yam Melech, that's svek sveka, then they said we would not be lenient because people would not realize that one is missing, and they would still think that you could permit even just one that's mixed into all these other things, even if essentially it would not be permitted, only if it would fall in. We're not going to have Rish Lakish's leniency. Rav Yosef, he disagrees, he says, no, fill a teina, even a fig, because kinefilasa kachaliyasa. In other words, just like when it falls into the permitted items, it's significant enough that you recognize that it's going to prohibit all the other figs that it got mixed into. So too, when it's removed from there, it will also be significant in your eyes to realize that, yes, that's enough to permit it. It is significant. It is something that's recognizable because when it fell in, it's just one fig, yet people recognize it has magnitude. So one of them is missing, it also has magnitude, and therefore it will also be the same logic as by the Chavis to permit the rest of the figs. He says, Chavis shel truma shenafla b'kof chavis. The same type of cases. If a barrel of truma falls into 100 other permitted barrels, so says Rabbi Lazar, what you could do is, although they're prohibited because it's a davar chashiv, and a davar chashiv is not going to be bottled even in 1,000, but peseach echad men, what you could do is open up one of the barrels. Once it's open, so then it's going to be nullified because, like we said, open barrels are not chashiv. Not chashiv, it could be bottled. And then, v'noitel hemenu kedei dimua, what you can do is then you take, according to the mixture of the prohibited truma, that amount of truma, that there was 100 barrels of permitted wine, one barrel of truma wine. So that's a ratio of 100 to 1. So in this barrel that you open up, take out a ratio of 1/100, which is that one of Issur that got mixed into the 100 of Heter, and give that to the Kohen, so that you're not violating any laws of theft, because it might be that's how much of his wine got mixed into your barrels. V'shaisa, and then you can drink the rest of the barrel. Now, because now it's bottle. It's bottled in the whole mixture, because this one's not chashav anymore. Now, Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamal ala shmaita. So Rav Dimi was sitting, he was saying over this teaching. So Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to him, Gama v'shasi k'chazin ha'ach. I see someone sipping and drinking over here. In other words, he had a problem with this idea. Because if so, then you could just go initially open up a barrel and then nullify it. But then the halacha that we said, that when you have closed barrels, they're not bottle, which was one of the six things we said, that, oh, there even the Chacham are going to agree that it's not going to be bottle. Why? Just open it up. What's the problem? How could we ever say that halacha? Oh, it's not bottle. Not bottle. Open up the cover, it's going to be bottle. So Elaimer rather say, well, you're not allowed to. What's called imavat and lesleketchila. One is not allowed to initially nullify something by going ahead and opening up the barrel. Rather, the halacha should be said, if niftucha achas men, if one of the barrels happens to open unintentionally. So that's what the halacha would be telling us, that even though it's nullified and it's obvious that there's no wine of the truma mixed into this wine, because wine didn't mix into wine, barrels mix into barrels, so therefore if this one is bottles, then you should be able to drink the whole barrel, that's the chiddush, that's still noitil hemenike de dimu v'shay, so you still have to take off in this barrel itself 1/100th of the wine and give that to the kain, and then you could drink the rest. That's the chiddush halacha, not that you could open it up, because of course you're not allowed to. If it opens up and it's going to be bottle, you could drink it, but because of laws of theft from the kainim, you still have to give 1/100th of that wine, which is the proportion of all the wine of all the barrels together, and give that to the kain. Now Amr Baishia says, Chavish al truma. Similar type of halacha, if a barrel of truma gets mixed into 150 barrels of wine, and v'niftuchu me'ya mehen, now here the case is different, and 100 of the barrels got opened. So, noitel hemen kedei dimur, so similarly the halacha is, so you take 1/150th from the wine of each barrel, and you drink it, like we said, because that's the, with 150 to 1. So each barrel has that suffix in it. You have to go ahead and take off that amount and give it to the kain. And then you could drink the wine of those 100 barrels. But he says, Bishar asur nat shiyiftuch. And this is the chiddush of his halacha. But the rest of the wine, of the 50 barrels that are still closed, are going to be prohibited until they get opened. Why? Lo yamrinan isur berubi isi. We don't say that the prohibited barrel was in the majority, in the 100 that was opened, to thus allow taking one of the barrels that were open and give it to the Kohen for Truma, and then therefore to permit now, so you already gave that one, because that was the majority, and assume that that was the barrel of the Kohen, and you're giving the 150th to the Kohen, and therefore the remaining 50 should be permitted. We say no. What was opened becomes bottle. The 50 still retains its Isser, and we don't assume that the Isser was in the majority, and therefore those 50 are still going to be Isser until they happen to open. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. Harayva v'anirva v'chulu, we said regarding things that are not prohibited for benefit, they're not usher to a head yet, but they're usher for gevaya for the Beis HaMikdash. If let's say the animal sodomized or was sodomized, and it gets mixed into the kosher animals to be brought as karbanos, so then you can't bring any of them, because this is a doubt regarding the validity of the carbon, and you have to let it graze, develop a blemish, then you sell it, and you use the profits, the proceeds, to go ahead and buy the karbanos that were supposed to be brought from those values. And v'chul, etc., and there's all different cases that the Mishnah speaks about. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Bishle Mekulu, we understand all the cases the Mishnah speaks about, that lo yediyah, that the invalidation of the animal is not recognizable to be able to select and to realize which one is the invalid one and to remove it, because you can't tell which animal was sodomized, which one wasn't. We know that there was one, but they all look the same, and therefore, okay, you can't, there's a doubt here regarding bringing something that's prohibited to be brought as a carbon. You're not allowed to, so therefore you have to let them all develop a blemish and graze. Ella, high trey fechadami, but one of the cases our mission discusses regarding an animal has a mortal defect, which cannot be brought as a carbon. And that got mixed into all the other animals, and there the Mishnah says the same halacha, yir achi stavi macher, b'yipul demein, and then you use the money. But what's the case? And that is, if the mortal defect is recognizable, for example, if let's say the animal had its foot cut off, or let's say if the brain of the animal got pierced, where that's something that's recognizable, and therefore we know it's a trefa, it's going to die, it has a mortal defect. So then, if that's the one that got mixed in, then leisi velishkale. So go and take it away, and now you remove the iser, and now the rest should be permitted. And iloya delay, and if we're talking about a type of a trefa, a certain mortal defect that's not recognizable, you cannot see it, it's not visible, if it's inside the animal, then menoyada. Then how did they know initially the arav that it got mixed in, and then we know that a trefa got mixed in? How do they know? You don't know, you can't see. So what is the case exactly talking about in the case of the trefa? They got mixed in to say the whole thing's forbidden. So I'm in the Beribiana, he says, what are we talking about over here? It's kagoin di arav nekuvas hakoitz. We're talking about an animal that had a hole in its flesh from a thorn, but it didn't pierce into the inside of the animal, and therefore the animal's still going to be kosher, and it's not even a blemish because it's going to heal that thorn, that prick. That got mixed into an animal that has bedrusas hazev. There was another animal that, however, was pounced on by a wolf, which made it into a trefa because the venom of the wolf goes into the animal, and we don't know to differentiate between which one was the one that had the thorn, which one was the one that had was pounced on by the wolf. And since it's not recognizable, that's the doubt that we have. So you can't really pick it out because, yeah, there was one animal that was kosher that has that hole in its body. But another one has a hole that is problematic because it became a trefa by being pounced on by the wolf. That cannot be separated. That we don't know which one's kosher, which one's not, and therefore the whole thing has to be sold. Rish Lakish gives a different interpretation. It's going the Arav bin Nafula. We're talking about that the one that's a trefa that got mixed on was an animal that fell off the roof, which this is listed by the Mishnah of all the types of animals that are trefas. The reason why it's a problem when it falls off the roof is because its limbs got discombobulated. And if one would slaughter that animal within a period of 24 hours, even if he would inspect the animal after it was slaughtered to make sure it doesn't have any type of mortal defects, and he wouldn't find, that wouldn't help. Now, even if there's a delay of 24 hours and then he slaughters, it still requires to check all types of checkings and the parts of the animal to make sure that there's no mortal defect. Now, that's why the Mishnah says you have to let it graze, because if you're going to say that sell them as they are for the type of carbon that it's needed to be and then slaughter in the Azara, but what happens is that then you'll find out which one's the treif and that will be the invalid one. The problem is that you're deliberately bringing into the Azar, into the court, something that has a doubt regarding a treifa, and that's problematic. Because even though we're going to find out maybe that wasn't a treifa, but it might be a treifa, and even though then we'll check and we'll find out and then we'll be able to remove that one and know the rest are kosher, one is not allowed to bring in the suffered treifa, which might be a problem as a carbon to slaughter down the Azara, and therefore, says Rish Lakish, that's the case that we're talking about, that you have to let them all graze, develop a blemish, and then sell it and use those proceeds to buy the karbanos. And that is the Gemara. Why? Nefula nami livdeka. Even if the animal fell off the roof, you could check it and see if it could walk. And then you'll know it's not a trefa. And then you could sell the animals as they are for that species of the carbon, because there is an opinion that says regarding Imperik Elu Trefus that if it stands on its feet, then you don't even have to wait 24 hours before you slaughter it. But you have to check it after slaughtering to see if it had any trefa. But if it walked on its feet, then you don't even have to check it. So on that, ask the Gemara and Rish Lakish, well, just check to see if it can walk. And if it can walk, then there's not going to be a problem at all. Says the Gemara, Ksavi Rish Lakish, who explained the halacha of our Mishnah in the case of when it fell off the roof, that he said there's no alternative. You have to sell them all. He holds Amda Tzricha Meis Lies, that even if it stands, it does need a 24-hour delay before it's slaughtered, and then you still have to check it after that it's slaughtered. Now, additionally, and this is the main idea, that even if it's halcha, even if it walks, he holds tzricha b'tika, still needs to be inspected after that it's slaughtered. And if you're going to say, okay, so sacrifice it and then check it after it's slaughtered, and that's what we said before, since it already is presumed already in the halachas of a doubtful trefa, so therefore we're not going to bring such a carbon to the Azara, and therefore there's no other option but rather to let them all graze, develop a blemish, and then sell and use the proceeds. A third interpretation, Rabbi Yirmiyama, he says, Kegoin di arv b'vlad trefa. When we said the trefa in the Mishnah, we meant if the animals that were kosher got mixed into the child of a trefa animal. With Rebbe Eliezer, it's going like Rebbe Eliezer, Dama, that he says, Vlad Treif Aliyukav Lagav Mizbeach, as is brought in Perak HaLasur in the Mesatlis Tamura, that as the Gemara there explains the reasoning for that, he says that the child of a Treif cannot be sacrificed in the Mizbeach, and that doesn't look any different than any regular animal. It is really a regular animal. And therefore, that's the case as to when they got mixed in, but we know it's a child of a Treif, and therefore, that was what the Mishnah, when it said that the whole mixture is going to be prohibited. Now, the Gemara explains regarding all these three different interpretations as follows. The other two interpretations did not say like Rabbi Yanai, because Beinakuvas Akoitz Litrusas Hazev made the idea. They say that can't be the case that the Mishnah is talking about that you cannot tell. What do you mean? If it's visible, then you see. If it's not, then how do you know? So he said, oh, it's visible, but there's another one that has the same visibility of a hole, but one is a treva, one's not. On that, they said, no, you could tell the difference between if it just got a cut from a thorn or if it got cut by the pouncing of a wolf. Because hi moshech, when the wolf pounces on it, the hole is elongated. It's not round because the claws of the wolf tears down on the flesh of the animal, and therefore that's pulled down in one type like an oval type. But the high ugle, a thorn is round. It just gets stuck, it pierces it in a round hole, and therefore it would be recognizable there, but that's not a valid case. Kresh Lakish Lame, they didn't say like Kresh Lakish, the other two opinions, because Ksavi, they hold that Amda, if the animal stands on its feet and it doesn't walk, ain't a Tzrich Meisleis, like we said, there's an opinion that holds, and that's what those two other opinions hold, that it doesn't even need a 24-hour delay before it's slaughtered. But again, it needs to be checked after it's slaughtered. But if Holcha, if it walks, ain't a Tzrich Badika, it doesn't even need to be checked at all, and therefore that would be a valid way of permitting them all without having to let them develop a blemish and graze, and therefore they didn't hold that was an option of saying if it's nefula, because you could just check if it walks. If it walks, it's not going to be a problem. And Kirib Yirmali Amri, the other two interpretations don't say like Kirib Yirmali, because Kirib Yezer Le Mikmi, they didn't want to say that the Halacha of a Mishnah is like a Das Yoch, like one individual, which was like this opinion of Kirib Yezer, who, yeah, that would be a valid source for him, that it's like Kirib Yezer, but again, that would then be limiting one to the opinion of Vlad Treifa, which the Chacham disagree with, and if they didn't want to say like his interpretation.